did this happen?
Well, we clearly fell asleep with the battery on, and...
Oh, man, the talk radio.
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
But the car just committed suicide.
Shut up, man.
22-minute podcast. Don't wanna take up much of your time. We're just gonna read some headlines and stuff.
Welcome to Real Quick, a 22-minute podcast production. I'm your host, Wes Sievertson. This is the first episode of Real Quick, another 22-minute length podcast, so that's why it's under the banner of the 22-minute podcast productions. I guess you can call one guy hosting two different podcasts all by himself a podcast production company. If not, who cares? I mean, I don't think you could probably answer that question for me. So, yeah, no one does. Anyway, so yeah, this is just going to be another 22-minute episode deal. This one's going to be more focused on movies, TV, stuff like that. So whenever I was trying to think of, you know, how should I start this? What should I start off the podcast with? I just figured, hey, you know what? We'll go something that's important to me, I guess, in one way or another. So I went with comedies because I love comedies. Who doesn't? But also they're fun. And then I decided, all right, let's go through, let's refamiliarize myself with what comedies came out the year I graduated high school, 2008. So that's what we're focusing on comedies from 2008. Not every episode will be kind of focusing on a year and a genre or whatever like that, but that's what we're going to start it off with. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, it's over 15 years ago at this point that... A lot of these movies came out, or all these movies, of course. Excuse me, I got a little distracted there. But I was surprised while I was compiling this list. Like, one, I found like a list of 200 comedy movies released in 2008, which just blew my mind. I know that everyone's aware, obviously, the past couple years, especially the past like 4 or 5 years at this point. Production overall has slowed down in Hollywood, but comedies as well. There's been a lot, like Bottoms was hilarious. I don't know if y'all have seen that. That was so funny. Actually, I don't know how long ago this was. This was probably before the pandemic, but Good Boys or whatever, with that kid from Room, like youngest kid. Was he nominated for Academy Award? I don't know if he was, but then he went and did a raunchy Seth Rogen style comedy. Speaking of Seth Rogen, he'll be on the list today. Yeah, so what we're doing today, because there's just so many, and I realized that I thought I'd be more familiar with the majority of comedies that came out in 2008, but it turns out I've actually only seen and remember well enough to kind of speak on 27 comedies from 2008, which is a longer list than I plan on getting through in one episode. You know what? We're going to do a couple 2008 comedy episodes. This one is going to focus on my top six, which is a weird number, right? Well, the reason we're doing a top six is because essentially I broke down those 27 movies that I remember well enough to kind of comment on. Broke those down into a tier list of five tiers. So we have the top tier, and that's what it's called, top tier. Best stuff. Nothing wrong with these movies. Zero. At least in my opinion. And then you have tier two, which is very good. Very like stuff I still love personally as well, but perhaps like I could admit that they're a little awkward at points, or they're just not as funny as maybe they were when I was 18 years old, that kind of thing. Tier three is good. These were good movies. I guess I should establish, you know, I don't know. A lot of people obviously have their own way of looking at movies, especially as like audience members. I think most people really just kind of respond as getting something, you know, and hey, this isn't what I wanted. What I got from this movie is not what I wanted, so I'm dissatisfied, which I totally get that. Like, I may not be in the mood for a certain kind of movie sometimes, but I also feel like I try to be aware of that. And so whenever I'm looking at any movie, I'm watching any movie, you know, honestly, I'm proud of these guys, you know, the filmmakers, as long as they kind of got it on screen. Like, I think people underestimate how difficult it truly is to make a movie. So yeah, like, these are movies that were good. They had some probably really great moments, but perhaps just didn't have something a little extra or a little magical, you know. I don't know, like, there's certain movies where the script may be a little lax, right? But you can still say that they're good, and then a performance in the movie really elevates that the movie in general, or vice versa. Honestly, I've definitely seen stuff with no-name actors that's just a beautiful script, and whether it's low budget or not, they were able to pull something really cool off. So anyway, so yeah, tier four I called effort. And this is kind of like good. These people clearly made effort and they got something on screen, but it just really fell flat and didn't feel right. It's hard to call it good, but they clearly put in the effort to put something on the screen that at least they thought was good. And then the bottom tier is just trash. It's just called trash. That's the fifth tier. And yeah, so what I want to do today is honestly just go through that top tier, discuss those top six movies and kind of my impression of them, and maybe some fun facts and stuff like that. So yeah, there'll be one episode with the top six, and then I kind of want to blow through maybe those bottom four tiers in one episode just a little bit quicker as well. So that'll be next episode, and then probably a part three where I will discuss movies that I saw but I don't kind of remember, and I actually want to revisit them, and then also stuff that I haven't seen but I want to, and then stuff that I haven't seen, and for all comedies from 2008, right? Stuff from 2008 that I haven't seen, and I have no plans on seeing them because they just look like they belong in that fifth tier. So yeah, that's what we're doing. That's the kind of podcast this is going to be. Then again, sometimes, like, I tell you what, let's just go ahead and get started, because when we do, I'll point out some movies that honestly we're just going to do a whole episode on at some point. So yeah, let's get going. What I wanted to do here, I didn't want to just go, like I said, we're gonna list the top six movies. All of these are in the top tier of my 2008 comedy, so they're all fantastic. And so I didn't just want to kind of attempt even to put them in their own list, their own order. I just didn't want to do that. So I put them. I went to, you know, whatever, this dumb website that is really helpful and is allowing me to shuffle. So I'm shuffling these guys right now, this list of six. Here we go. And all right, so we will start like this. All right, so the number one movie. Okay, cool. This is good. This is actually, I liked the way that they put these top two. I'm glad they put these two on here, because the first one I got here is In Bruges. So funny, but also so dark. Great performances. Colin Farrell, so good in it. Brandon Gleeson, right? So great. Like, what an underrated actor himself. I think he's gotten his due by this point, but it took him a little while to get that recognition. But he's been on my radar since Braveheart, because my dad had that double VHS when I was growing up. But yeah, In Bruges. Also, you know, writer-director Martin McDonagh, who, you know, he was a long-time, he's Irish, long-time screenwriter. I'm sorry, playwright. Longtime playwright. I think he might have won a Tony or two. I know he's been nominated. But, you know, you would also know his movies, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. I think that's what that's called, right? It's been so long. And then most recently, The Banshees of Inisherin, another basically In Bruges kind of combo. And that's what was so awesome, honestly, about watching that movie is In Bruges is it almost feels like a alternate universe of these guys kind of thing. Little different personalities, not the same characters for sure. But yeah, if you haven't seen In Bruges and you enjoyed, Banshees of Inisherin especially, but or anything Martin McDonagh's done. You know what's funny is Seven Psychopaths is another movie that he did that, like, it just doesn't feel the same. It's good, I like it, but it definitely feels more awkward. But it also belongs in that, like, 2000s indie kind of movie genre where, I don't know, it does feel a little clunky, but it's got something interesting going on with it. So anyway, In Bruges, I think, was the first movie that Martin McDonagh got to write and direct. I'd have to double check that, but what a way to start. It's fantastic. Ralph Fiennes is in it too. Just check it out. It's great. I can't remember the the female kind of love interested in that. I recognize her as well. Oh, you know what? It might have been a... Oh, I can't remember her name. She played Flew Delacroix or whatever, Delacroix or whatever, in the Harry Potter movies. I think that's who it is. Which had Brandon Gleeson's son and Brandon Gleeson, but she was actually married to Brandon Gleeson's son's character in Harry Potter. Look at that. Little world. Little world. I actually love that like British kind of European film scene. And they're all great actors. They're better actors than most Americans now, but I love the movies that have come out of there. But yeah, so in Bruges, really great. You know, like I just described, fantastic cast, fantastic writer-director. But it's definitely a dark comedy. You know, we'll get to some slapstick comedies, which I think there's not enough of anymore. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just don't watch them, or they're not for me. But yeah, dark comedy, so take it with a grain of salt. But it's a beautiful movie. And then kind of seriously in the same vein, number two here on out of the two of the six, Be Kind, Rewind. Not as dark, not like a dark comedy, but still like a serious comedy, a dramedy. Jack Black is great. Mos Def. Actually, I don't think Mos Def goes by Mos Def anymore, but I don't remember what he changed his name to or if Mos Def was even his name to begin with. And now he's... Anyway, I apologize, sir. And then what, Donald Glover? I'm sorry, Danny Glover? Not related to Donald Glover. And then there's someone else in that movie who I'm forgetting. It's not Rosario Dawson. She kind of looks like Rosario Dawson. I hope that's okay to say. but yeah, I can't remember her name or like what she's really been in since then. But she's really great. Again, it's just another really great comedy, but that hits on a different level. And it's such a heartfelt movie. And you know what? Also, if you are interested in film or TV or, you know, production in any way or theater, that's a really special movie for that, too, because I don't know if you know it. So basically what it's about is these movies get erased. They work at, you know, a VHS rental kind of shop. So very old school in its reference. And I think part of it is even that they're going out of business and that kind of thing. And what kind of saves their business is that they recreate these movies with. Because they accidentally erase all the tapes. And so they recreate these movies with low budget, obviously, like what they can find, what they can make. And they also cast or use locals as their cast and their background and that kind of thing. So it's super cute, but also really funny. And Jack Black's great in it. So Michael Gondry, yeah, directed that one. So another, you know, he did Science of Sleep. He wrote and directed that. I think he directed Eternal Sunshine. I don't know if he wrote Eternal Sunshine or am I mixing that up? He didn't direct it and he wrote it. I don't think that's right. Anyway, I think did Spike Jones or Charlie Kaufman? I don't remember. Now I'm feeling bad. Now my like you know 2000s film kid cred is going to be totally revoked. So I got to look this up. All right, sorry. Eternal Sunshine. Let's see what it says. This movie just makes me feel old, man. Like, how old was Kate Winslet in this movie? I bet she was younger than me right now. It was directed by Michael Gondry. Okay, cool. So it was directed by Michael Gondry. Michael Gondry also has a story credit, but so does Charlie Kaufman. So there you go. So I remembered. I kind of remembered it. Let's be honest. I pretty much got it. But yeah, check that one out. If you haven't, it's fantastic. It's a gem. I miss when they made movies like that. There's not enough auteurs these days. There is in horror movies, though, which is really cool. And then, obviously, the auteurs from the 2000s are still going. And before the 2000s are still going. I should say before that, because, you still got Paul Thomas Anderson, Wes Anderson, the Coen brothers, Scorsese. What Tarantino's supposedly doing, one more. These are all just the main guys, but, I mean, there's way more that... Hey, that'd be a good episode too, kind of listing the auteurs and kind of how their relationship in Hollywood affected each other and that kind of thing, and how it changed the movie biz. All right, moving on. All right, okay. So number three they got on here is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So kind of slapstick. It's a Judd Apatow production, I'm pretty sure. I don't need to look that up. I'm almost 100% positive that it is. I mean, it has the aesthetic, it has the production look and quality of a Judd Apatow movie. But actually, you know, Jason Segel, yeah, it has to be a Judd Apatow movie. Because Jason Segel came from Freaks and Geeks, Judd Apatow's television show, you know, and that had James Franco, which he brought along as well. It had Linda Cardellini, who he incorporated in a couple things. And then, you know, Seth Rogen and Martin Starr as well. So he always did what he could for those guys. And so this was Jason Segel's, he wrote the movie. I don't think he directed it. Actually, I better double check before I say that. I should have looked this up. I'm so sorry. But no, it's another one that has like an oddly heartfelt kind of core to it, while also absolutely having some very raunchy and ridiculous. No, he did not direct it. He did write the screenplay with the director, though. But yeah, like honestly, this to me might be... other than, like, I love the Seth Rogen stuff. I wouldn't really call Knocked Up like a Seth Rogen joint. I think it was his idea, and obviously all the improv, like, really is that group. But to me, like, Pineapple Express is a little more kind of like a Seth Rogen whenever he was in a little more control. Because, you know, he was still just a kid. Like, Knocked Up is where he kind of gained that control. And there's been a lot of really cool movies that I think he's had more. Him and Seth, whatever. I'm sorry. No, his Evan. You know, Seth and then Evan, whatever. Goldberg? Them actually getting to, like, head things and really be, like, producers. So this one stands out to me as, like, I didn't think I Love You, Man was very funny. I'll watch it and have a giggle. But it's a good... It's a nice comparison to Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because you can really see like how Forgetting Sarah Marshall actually has a much better script, much better chemistry, honestly, with all of the cast. And then yeah, Jason Segel just adding his very like kind of charming oddball humor to it, and you get a little bit of a musical at the end too, which is also fun. So yeah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That's probably one of the more popular of the 2008 comedy movies that people definitely remember. All right, so next one coming up, number four here, Trailer Park Boys movie. Okay, just real quick, Trailer Park Boys movie, it really is fucking perfect. But you know what they did? They took the best parts from the series that they had done on like HBO Canada or whatever. It might have been on something else, but HBO Canada like distributed it. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, it's like the best bits. Trailer Park Boys movie and Trailer Park Boys Countdown to Liquor Day. Those are both like DVD release movies or streaming release movies, whatever. Best stuff that Trailer Park Boys ever did. So if you're not familiar with those movies, check them out. If you're not familiar with Trailer Park Boys in general, this is a good place to start, seriously. Okay, last two. Here we go. I'm glad they put these last two in this order. So first one coming up is Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder might be my favorite from... 2008. It's very over the top. It's very controversial at this point, though. I think if you look at its intention and what it's doing, the parody that it is, honestly, communicates the same sentiment that may be that may give some people distress. It's pointing out what you're pointing out, how ridiculous and insensitive, but also unaware Hollywood is to kind of some of the stuff that they do here. I actually wanted to play you, because I think one of my favorite parts of the movie, because it is a satire, it is making fun of every little corner of Hollywood, and that includes like executives and kind of what they think about their subject matter and the level of respect they have. Les Grossman, one of the funniest parts, Tom Cruise playing Les Grossman, yelling in a fat suit, demanding Diet Cokes. And you know what? Kind of giving what you have to imagine is his impression of some Hollywood execs. And he's been around a lot of Hollywood execs. So I just wanted to play you this quick clip as an example of kind of like what his character might represent. So here we go. All right.
Who is this guy?
Les, that's Four Leaf.
Sergeant Four Leaf Tabak. I wrote the book.
Oh. You're a great American. This nation owes you a huge debt.
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my job.
So there you go. Yeah, You know what? I thought that there's a couple scenes like that, and every scene with him kind of demonstrates, like, okay, so he'll feign respect for this war veteran who, like, is responsible for the movie that he's producing, but hey, can you shut the fuck up and let me do my job? He doesn't really care. It's all lip service, and that's kind of Hollywood to any sentiment, no matter what that is, not just our armed forces or whatever. Anyway, I want to jump to the last one, which is Pineapple Express. Such a classic, such an underrated movie in my opinion. Yes, it's a stoner movie, but the whole movie is about making fun of stoners. I wanted to play this clip really quick. We're running out of time, which is my fault. I talk way too fucking much, but I just wanted to play this clip and then I'll talk about it a little bit. All right, here we go.
Hey, you all right, man?
Sounded pretty hectic.
I'm okay. Let's just get the fuck out of here, okay?
All right. First things first.
Don't do that, okay?
Line up a joint.
Why not?
Car chase. Oh, I skipped right over
gunshots that clearly just happened.
The part that I wanted, but I don't have time. So yeah, so essentially, it's right after that classic scene where he puts his foot through the windshield, and they're kind of making some calls to arrange like where they're going next. And before they get moving, James Franco wants to smoke. And Seth Rogen's character has now kind of gotten to the point where he's so stressed out and out of his comfort zone that he's actually questioning maybe we shouldn't smoke so much. And what I actually really love is James Franco kind of takes this moment and he's just kind of like, he clearly asks himself, why not, in his head, but then he responds to his own question outside of his head. So he's like, can you not do that? And he's just, yeah, why not? Like, that's hilarious, all right? Especially if you're familiar with stoners at all. This argument they're having, Seth Rogen to James Franco, is Seth Rogen arguing with himself. Like, can you not do that? Can you not let that get in the way? The whole movie is really an observation, I think, on, like, the detriments of being stoned all of the time. But it's hilarious. It's 100% hilarious, and I love it. So, yeah, that was the first episode of Real Quick. Check those movies out. Bye.